Have you read through the book of Ecclesiastes? I'm sure you have. It's actually quite depressing. And certain times we go through depressing times, we go through difficulties and things. It's interesting. Ecclesiastes starts out saying there's basically nothing new under the sun. You know, these things happen, they've happened before. We know that the book of Ecclesiastes really ends with, you know, what is the conclusion of the whole matter? To be obedient to Yahweh, to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. So we have to consider Ecclesiastes. We have to consider the conclusion of the whole matter. And of course, today in the New Testament, we have Yahshua who came as a sacrifice. We have to have faith in Him. We have to have that, otherwise we don't have forgiveness of sins. And so we do both. We have faith in the Messiah, and we have a love and compassion for others in keeping Yahweh's word. We do all these things. If you would, turn to 2 Peter. Speaking of nothing new under the sun, there certainly seems to be futility under the sun. But there's also a reward, interestingly enough, also under the sun, if you think of that in a spiritual sense. 2 Peter and chapter 3, starting in verse 3. It says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. This is nothing new. This has happened in the past. It has been going on for a long time, ever since mankind has turned from Yahweh. And it says, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. So mockers say nothing has changed from the beginning. Let's go over to Luke. Chapter 17. Luke 17 and starting in verse 26. There are examples of things that are similar in the past and that will be similar coming up. 17 verse 26 of Luke. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so will be the day also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling. They were planting and they were building. On the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And of course, we are to, like Lot, leave Sodom and Gomorrah. We are to leave the world in behind us. And we know that the world is going to be destroyed. It's going to be burned with fire, and there is destruction coming. But these are some things that show that there's nothing new under the sun, really, in our past history. We see a lot of similar things happening. But we have we have work to do. And in Ecclesiastes, going back there, even the author thinking about the work and the profit from the work, it seems to come to nothing. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 17 even says, so I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Do we ever feel like that? Do we feel like, you know, this 9-to-5 job that I have, or this the things that I do each day, it's futility. There's nothing that's really coming from it. I just live my day in, day out, and it continues on. Verse 18. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to a man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool, yet he will have control over the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore, I completely despair of all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor for the striving which he labors under the sun? Because all of his days his task is painful and grievous. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. My grandfather has had a lot of wealth and has done well in the world. Well, he's since passed. He was 94 when he died. And he had almost, going upwards to $1 million. Well, it's interesting what he did with that money. He must have considered, who's going to end up getting that money? All the labor I've done and all the fruit of my labor, where is that going to go? And how will it be, spent or used? Well, in his will, he defined that his will was to have it spread out to different organizations. He gave some to the National Geographic Society. He gave some to the Wildlife Society. He gave some to, and the list goes on. And he took this great amount that he had and gave a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit over here, some over here, and he spread it all out. And when my dad found out, he kind of freaked because, there's an inheritance here. It's going elsewhere. And Scripture does talk about, giving an inheritance is a good thing. But I wasn't too bothered by it because I realized he was trying to do the best that he could with what he knew. And it's interesting that, even though I didn't receive, but a small token of that that inheritance, that I could see where how he delved it out, it went to do some good. And so, I respect my grandfather for trying the best that he could. He wasn't a man of faith. He didn't believe as we do. But I think he sincerely tried to do the best that he could, which is good. But we have, Yahweh's Spirit, and we do not need to be depressed about losing things in this world or worrying about where things will go. Scripture shows that we are to build up a reward in heaven. Let's go over to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, we're getting into a conversation here between Abram and Yahweh. Abram before he was called Abraham. And it says, after these things, verse 1, the word of Yahweh came to Abram, in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be great. Abraham said, O Yahweh Elohim, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Well, the answer was, his descendants would be like the sands of the sea. Well, we might think, well, that's a physical blessing he received. Well, he also is going to receive a spiritual blessing, because it also talks about the stars. And we're talking about a spiritual sense of the people becoming spirit beings. The descendants of Abraham will enter into that spiritual realm. Will Abraham, when he is awakened and told of all that has happened, will he be happy? Will he be blessed? I think he will. And he was blessed before he passed. But he'll be resurrected. Matthew 5 and verse 10. Matthew 5, and starting in verse 10, says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So if we're not promoting Messiah, no more persecution, but also no reward. So there are certain things that we have to do today, really, if we're going to receive a good reward. And that's the whole point. So what happens when you do things right? What happens when wrong things happen? Job. I think Job's an example of when you're doing things right and yet things go wrong. Let's go over to Job. Job chapter 3 and verse 3. So let the day perish on which I was born. Didn't the author of Ecclesiastes say about the same thing? I think we can take a look at that. It says, let the day on which I was born and the night which said a boy is conceived, may that day be darkness. Let not Elohim above care for it, nor light shine on it. Do we ever have trouble that is of such gravity that we're desperate? We're desperate for relief, and we just, at times, is just darkness. And here, for Job, it became that way. Let darkness and black gloom claim it. Let a cloud settle on it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. Speaking of his birth, as for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not become or not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful shout enter it. Let those curse it who curse the day, who are prepared to rouse Leviathan. Let the stars of the twilight be darkened. Let it wait for light, but have none. Neither let it see the breaking dawn, because it did not shut the opening of my mother's womb or hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth? Come forth from me, womb, and expire. Terrible, terrible trouble had befallen Job. And it seems like Ecclesiastes has a similar comment. We can go over there for a moment, take a look at that. Ecclesiastes 6:3. So whoever the author was, we think it could have been Solomon. But whoever the author was, I mean, all the riches in the world didn't seem to satisfy his yearning. And he ended up believing and realizing that, hey, obedience to Yahweh is the way to go. But in verse 3 of chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes, if a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, however many they may be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, and he does not even have a proper burial, then I say better the miscarriage than he. So maybe the author wasn't thinking as so much as Job, but he expresses that indeed, you know, if a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, but his soul is not satisfied with the good things that he does, not even a proper burial, then I say, better the miscarriage than he. Interesting. There are similarities in Scripture, of course, in Job and in Ecclesiastes. Both had thoughts of futility, and both also show that obedience to Yahweh is the way to go. There's something else, too. Though not our goal in the Spirit, Job was blessed with more than he had before, and we are told that he lived to be at a ripe old age. That was a blessing that he received. And of course, he died without having Messiah, though he knew of a resurrection, evidently. He expresses that. And we know there are blessings for those who obey, both now and in the future. Just think of what our understanding is of Scripture and the overall plan of Yahweh. What Yahweh has given to us, the understanding that we have. there are people driving by back and forth on this highway. It's a very well-traveled highway. And very few look over, and even fewer than that, minuscule amount of people actually consider and think about it and stop in. And evidently Yahweh is opening up their minds to do so. Because, I mean, who cares? Really, a lot of people do not care. Because they don't understand. They don't hear the word as it really should be taught. And they don't have the example from a lot of ministers out there, a lot of people who claim to be believers in a Messiah and a Father, yet their lives don't express how they should be living. So we have to be better, and we have to let our light shine, so to speak, so others can know that there is a better life, that this life is not futility, but there is reward that is coming if we live our lives properly. So knowing all this, what should we do? Go over to Galatians. With me to chapter 6. Just past Romans there. 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from flesh, will reap corruption. And from the one who sows to the Spirit will reap the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. But in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So there are times even we could grow weary, that we can lose heart. But we're told not to. We're encouraged not to. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are in the faith, in the household of faith, is basically what it's saying. There is futility in the flesh, but usefulness and productivity in the spirit. Proverbs 11. Wisdom from Psalms and Proverbs is very good to read through, especially if someone is feeling a little down and thinking, well, you know, there seems to be futility in life. And there is. Some of these things, there's just nothing new under the sun. But there's something coming that's better. And it is a life full of joy and happiness. And it's something that we have to keep in mind. We have to keep our focus to what's coming, not necessarily just what's here. But we need to do what's right here to be able to reach that what's coming. Proverbs 11 and verse 18 says, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. And that's true. We see people becoming multi-millionaires, billionaires in society. Saw something the other day about hedge funds and these hedge fund internet stock type traders and stuff. There, a lot of them do well. And, some of these multi-millionaires in real estate. They buy, sell, and they're making profit, and they're buying jets. One guy was talking about upgrading, and he was asked, well, is that like going from a Toyota to a Lexus to like a Bentley? And he said, no, it's actually going from like a Yugo to a Bentley. And he was bragging about all of his wealth and how successful he was, moving up the ranks in society. You know, if he just read the book of Ecclesiastes, he would understand that that is futility, and that what's really important is obedience to Yahweh, studying His Word, finding out what He wants. And of course, in this time that we're in, understanding who Yahshua is, what He is all about. By understanding Him, we can understand who Yahweh is. And of course, His footsteps. We need to follow because He walked according to the way Yahweh wants us to walk. Verse 19 in Proverbs 11. He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. Two ways of life. You have a good way to go, you have a bad way to go. And we're to choose life. We're to do what is right. We're to get on that straight and narrow path that leads to life, not the broad way that leads to death. And we need, once we're on the path, we need to stay on it. Otherwise, we can find ourselves falling away and getting into the things of the world and finding ourselves in futility rather than finding a reward at the end of our life. Well, what's a good way to sow to the Spirit? Let's go over to John. John 21. John 21 and verse 15. Pretty profound words here in a discussion that we find between Peter and Joshua. And starting in verse 15, says, so when they had finished breakfast, Joshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. That word is basically feed. It's Bosco, 1006 in Strong's. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, master, you know all things. You know that I love you. Joshua said to him, then tend or feed my sheep is really what it's saying here. It says, feed my sheep. We're not talking physical food, we're talking spiritual food. We're talking about helping to feed the brethren, those that Yahweh is calling out of this world, who are immersing themselves to wash away their sins, to become a new creature, a Messiah. Our reaching out helps those that may feel that their life is in futility. And hopefully they are feeling that when Yahweh's word reaches to them. Because then they're going to be more, I would think, more encouraged to get out of that way of life, the futility, not having a goal of the kingdom, not having Messiah in mind, not having obedience to Yahweh's laws. Now there are some people that are moral, but they're not walking with Yahweh. They're not keeping the Sabbath, which is a sign between Yahweh and His people. So we're to keep the weekly Sabbath. We're to keep the sabbatical that's coming up here from atonement to atonement, 2008 and 2009. We're to do these things. As Peter had to feed and shepherd the flock, we too must follow Joshua and do the same thing with his help. We have two options. Let's go over to Mark. Mark 9 and verse 41. We have two options, to feed or not to feed. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Messiah, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone was hung around his neck and he had been cast into the sea. Two options there. One good, one bad. And of course, we will be rewarded for feeding. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6 says, I planted... this is Paul speaking, I believe, here. I planted, Apollos watered, but Elohim was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but Elohim causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So yeah, Yahweh does the calling. Yahweh does things, but he also calls the people to do things as well. And that we have each our own labor to do. And so we must each be involved in whatever way we can, because it simply is a reward based upon each one's labor that's coming. Now, we can help in different areas. We can help immediately in three different ways, in fact. One is in prayer. Now, when the Father sees, your earnest, he may give you more opportunities. What father wouldn't share a bit of his work with his children? For example, an individual may be maybe fixing a chair, maybe refinishing it, varnishing it. Son or daughter comes up and says, "Daddy, can I help?" What father wouldn't allow his child to maybe pick up a piece of sandpaper and help sand the chair? Or maybe even get a paintbrush out and help varnish the chair to finish it up. To be involved is something that, it's not just something that we should be desiring to do, but it's something that Yahweh desires us to do. He desires us to be involved in the work. And prayer is just one thing that can open up other doors for opportunities to help with the work. It's his work. There's no question about it. He gets all the glory and honor, but we have the opportunity to be a part of it and to also receive a reward. Not that that's what we're seeking after necessarily, but we have the opportunity to be a part of the overall plan that Yahweh has laid out for mankind. And that's a big project. And the workers are certainly welcome. The Father welcomes the workers. And even Yahshua said, pray. He said, the fields are ripe. Pray for more workers. Another way, a second way that we can help is in lending a hand in different areas of the work. Sharing magazine. I just went into the storage room. There are magazine racks back there. There are magazine racks that are just sitting there, not being used. Do we have a magazine? We have a magazine. Do you know of a place that might be a good place for a magazine stand that someone would walk by and maybe take one? They're free, so it's not like we have to take out of our pocket to help. But that is another way of course, helping. But we can share magazines, DVDs, CDs, other literature. We have stands for other literature that can go out in different areas. We have Teens for Yah website that is going to need input in its development if we're going to do that. Does anyone have some talent in that area? Yahweh, of course, there's a parable of the talents that were given out. We either use them or we don't. And if we don't, if we bury those talents and don't incorporate them into the work, what good are they? So there are volunteers needed even at the Feast of Tabernacles, at the other feasts times. I was amazed when I came in this morning. I got a hug from, I got a hug from everybody. I was giving out hugs myself. But Nancy White came up to me and said, David, are those programs ready to be folded? She wanted to help. And she said, I said, they're not ready yet. She said, you let me know, because I'm here to help. Praise Yahweh. Absolutely. And I think, we certainly do have a servant's attitude. We should have a servant's attitude. Wasn't that Yahshua's attitude? Wasn't that his way of doing things, being a servant? He didn't come to be served. He set the example by washing his disciples' feet. What better way to show a servant's attitude? There are volunteers needed to bring other project ideas to the table to promote Yahweh's word. We're to bring this message to the ends of the earth. Yes, that's Yahweh's doing, really. But we're to help in the best, you know, the best that we're able to. So any project ideas out there that can help, that would be good. We are going to need sponsors for Revealing the Truth, the telecast program. It's in its beginning stages of being recorded. And so, you know, is there a station nearby? Is this message being heard by someone in a large metropolitan area that can help promote Yahweh's word in their own area? Sometimes we get individuals wanting to start an assembly in their area. They want fellowship. They want to do something. But some of the simplest things don't really come to mind to do that, like getting a broadcast out in their area, getting a stand of the magazines up at a local shopping center, for example, handing out literature, DVDs, CDs to others that might be interested. The list goes on for those that would be able to lend a helping hand. We can help immediately in another area, the third area, tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings, which is a duty, a commandment, and an opportunity to produce fruit, because it goes into the work to produce fruit. And we're here glorifying Yahweh. We're here to honor Him, to bless Him, and to do His will. And all of this around us, I mean, it can be gone tomorrow. But we need to help get literature out. We need to help get programming out that gets the word out, the message of Yahshua the Messiah, the only name under heaven in which a man can be saved, or woman, you know, be politically correct. But, you know, we need to do what we need to do. And there are three things immediately that can be done. We can pray, we can help by lending a hand in certain areas, we can tithe and give offerings for the commission that we're given to do. And, you know, these things are not a service of futility. These are of productivity. What do tithes and offerings do? Malachi 3 in chapter 10, last book in the Old Testament, a book for our day. Malachi 3 and verse 10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food." What did Yahshua say to Peter? "Feed my sheep. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." Reward. A reward even here and now. And of course, just knowing what we know is a reward. We're not living a life of futility. We're energized by Yahweh's Spirit to do His will. And we're to help others learn of His will so that they can be energized and do also what we're doing, to have a domino effect. I pat you on your back, you pat someone else on their back, and it goes on. The word spreads in a good way. It goes forth with everyone working together. Now, if we sit down and stop doing the things that we're supposed to do, and yet Yahshua keeps on walking and reaching out, moving forward, where will we end up? In futility, won't we? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. If this life only, then indeed futility. again, looking forward. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17, starting there. And if Messiah has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. It is only through Messiah that we receive forgiveness of sins. It is only through Yahshua the Messiah, the true name of the Heavenly Father. There are people out there praising Jesus and other names that aren't scripturally grounded names. They aren't. Jesus is not a name from heaven. Yahshua is the name from heaven. And it's not that these people aren't trying to do the best that they can with it, with what they have. It's just they're in error. And part of our job is to help them see their error, to reach out and help them as we were helped. I was helped, my wife was helped, by one piece of literature that was handed to us. The person didn't say anything other than, would you like to take a look at this? I mean, just read it, see what you think. He went away. He went away, and guess what? I bet he did the same thing to hundreds of others. Maybe thousands of others. If we did that all day, well, of course, we have things that we have to do. We can't do this all the time. But it should be like prayer. It should be constant. As Yahweh opens up the door, as Yahweh gives us opportunities, as we are led by His Spirit, as we see the ability to help someone, we should move forward and help them. Because really, it's Yahshua moving forward with us if we do so. It's us moving with Yahshua moving forward, rather, I think is a better way to put it. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. Just to reiterate. And if Messiah has been raised, your faith has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Messiah have perished. If we have hoped in Messiah in this life only, we are, of all men, most to be pitied. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruit, or first fruits of those who are asleep. There is hope. There is something fantastic coming. And it gives us encouragement. And it's something that allows us to give to others, to give them encouragement, so that they don't live their lives in futility, so that they can see the error in their ways. I mean, just as Yahshua said, you know, take the log out of your eye before you really help. Well, we need to take the log out of our eye. Maybe the individual that handed us the mini study that we received that really opened up our mind, of course, it's really Yahweh that opened up our mind, but, I mean, how can a message come without a messenger? I mean, we are all, in a sense, messengers with Yahweh's word. We can go forward with it and help others just by handing some literature to someone and saying, hey, you might be interested in taking a look at this. Let me know if you have any questions. Or you could always, you know, just look at their website, give them a call, what have you. We are to be in productive service, fulfilling the great commission that we've been given. And that is to go forth and teach all nations. Not one nation, not some nations, all nations. And we're to feed them with sound doctrine, following Yahshua and obeying the Father. We are to be the bride who has made herself ready by living a life in service to Yahweh through Yahshua. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 19. We will be transformed into spirit beings if we continue in that service. We will have a reward for that service. And in a sense right now, we are being blessed. And we are receiving of some pretty amazing things, just the understanding that we have of Yahweh's word. Verse 5 of Revelation 19. Give praise to our Elohim, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the great and or the small and great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! Praise you, Yah. For Yahweh, our Elohim, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. And we are to be that bride. We are to obey Yahweh and follow Yahshua and what He did, to have faith in Him. This is what we need to do to become ready. I mean, Revelation 14:12, you don't have to turn there. I mean, we should know this by heart. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of Yahweh and their faith in Yahshua. It's twofold. It's not just one thing. What do we do to become ready? Well, we feed the flock with good food, Yahweh's word. Yahshua's first response to Satan's temptation was what? It was Yahweh's word. Not only Yahweh's word, but it was a command to follow Yahweh's word. It was taken from the Old Testament. We are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And it also must be our sword to defeat Satan and anything that stands against what we're doing. If we say in Yahweh's word, if we stay in Yahweh's word, then Yahweh's Spirit can quicken us to be fruitful, to actually act rather than just think. I mean, we can think about these things and not be doing anything. What good is that? Even James said, faith without works is dead. Then we won't be without works. We won't be without hope. We won't sit by idly while others are active doing Yahweh's will, helping to make disciples of all nations. Anything less is a lesson and a life in futility. This is a pearl of great price. It's worth more than we can comprehend. Paul said, you know, I can't even comprehend what's coming. The difficulties that we have, the struggles, the trials, the times that we feel like, it's futility. At times we do. Even those of us in the faith. But we must realize that of all people, we are so blessed. For we know that there's a resurrection coming. We know that we can be a part of the first fruits that Yahweh is going to present to His Father. That we can be a part of the coming kingdom. To not be in futility, to be in prosperity, and to have a hope beyond all hope that the world has. To have a reward. Doesn't Revelation talk about a reward that's being... Yahshua talked about that. About having a place being built, a reward being built up. Let's go over to Hebrews. We'll close with this. It's words of encouragement. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. And it tells us, even if we think, you know, there's so much to do, how can we do it all? Well, you know, Yahweh provides. But that's no excuse to step back and say, well, someone else will do it. We have to step forward with the talents that we have and help in the best way that we can with Yahweh's help. And it really starts with prayer. Prayer that opens up doors and allows us to be of service in different ways. Even just a kind word saying, can I help with those programs? Can I help fold those? Because that's part of what we do. And it's a helpful thing, even though it seems like a small thing. Verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. Do we ever think that we don't? It says here we do. We have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of the Father, of Elohim, you may receive what is promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back to destruction. You know, that word shrink, it's also defined as crawling. You know, sometimes we can crawl away from something that we may be thinking, you know, we don't want to be near. But really, we are not to crawl away. We are to not shrink back. Because where does that go? It goes to destruction. It says, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the preserving of the being, of the soul. So we have things to do. We are not to shrink back from them. We are to move forward, it's not in futility. It is looking for a reward. It is looking to do the Father's will. It is helping others. It is a building up of one another. And, you know, I, for one, you know, I fall short every day, I'm sure. And I think we all can see our human tendencies, our weaknesses. Yahweh sees them too. Yahshua knows them because he lived on this earth. And he knows what we go through. And he was tempted in all areas. And so he can help us with whatever temptation or difficulty that we're having with, or that we might be having. So we can take courage knowing that we have a brother, someone that's there with us to help us, to care for us, and to, you know, lift us up when we're feeling down, or to help us go in the right direction, because, you know, we're one with them. I do believe that. That's what Yahshua wanted. I think that's what Yahweh wants. I think that's what we want. And to be one with them, didn't Yahshua say, you know, I must work as my Father works? We must also work as Yahshua worked, as his Father worked. We must be one, doing the work together to help others along the way to the reward that is going to not be like any hedge fund or any real estate, any real estate investment could ever hope to be. So may Yahweh bless, and may Yahweh continue to help us as we work towards the kingdom, the coming kingdom. All these other things will fall into place if we keep that in mind. May Yahweh bless you.